Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. This is our Bible study segment. I'm here with teacher Connie Stampfel. Hi, Connie. Welcome back.
Hello, Amy.
I'm so glad you're here. We are actually starting a new chapter today, 2 Peter, as it were. And 2 Peter has several chapters, actually, but we finished up 1 Peter, and now we're starting something brand new, but yet it's a continuation, isn't it?
Well, yes, because it's Peter's second letter. So yes, we're going to see there's, you know, it's only been a couple years probably since he wrote the first one, but there's going to be a shift a little bit, and it'll be very interesting.
Oh, let's begin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you just a brief introduction before we even start reading the chapter. Okay. Those of us who have gone through 1 Peter together will remember that Peter wrote that letter to believers who were coming into a new time of persecution. This is during the reign of Nero, and he wrote to them to really encourage them to live lives of holiness and godliness in a midst of opposition of many sorts. And here, this is going to be, as best we know, is Peter's last writing to churches, and he is still focusing on living a life that pleases God, but even more so in the intervening couple of years since he wrote his first letter, we're going to find out that there's been some false teaching coming up in the church, and Peter is very concerned about that. I'll just tell you a few other facts about the background of this letter to kind of set the stage for us. And what we know is that, of course, this is Peter, the Apostle Peter, and we get hints from the letter here that it is at the end of his life, because he talks about he knows he's going to soon die. As best we can tell, he did write from prison, and we think he was in Rome at the time. And so this is sometime about AD 64 to 67, about 30 years after Jesus has been crucified. And so Peter is an old man at this time. We know that, again, he is writing with the purpose of encouraging his readers to live by God's grace, to please God, but also to be so on guard for false teaching, because it's that true knowledge of Jesus Christ that enables them to be to please God and to live lives that are holy and upright. We keep seeing repeated words. And so just think and keep in the back of your head words like knowledge about God's word or scripture. Several times Peter talks about remind, recall, remember. And so this is really like his last will and testament, in a sense. He's telling them the important things he wants them to know. And so he tells them he's going to die. He tells them what's most important to remember about. He exhorts them to lead holy lives. And then he talks about what the future is. And part of that, again, is he's seen the false teachers kind of crop up and become more and more strong, and new heresies coming up, and he's really concerned about that. Also, we just need to remember that this is the Peter whom God changed so greatly. And yes, here at the end of his life as a pastor, he's concerned about the sheep, the people of the church, about the church of Jesus Christ. And I don't see any sense at all in this epistle, this letter, that he's concerned about himself.
Yeah.
And so that's a beautiful thing. And hopefully as each and one of us mature in Christ, we will come to see it that way. Mm. All right. Well, I think we're ready to get into our study. And we're just going to take two verses today. So, Amy, if you'd read the first two verses, we can go.
All right. And this is the greeting for 2 Peter, verses 1 and 2. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord.
Yes. So we find here we've got our author. My version actually says Simeon, which is a Hebrew variant of Simon, and we see that a couple places in Scripture. And he's Simeon Peter or Simon Peter. And so it's both his original Hebrew name and then Peter, meaning rock, the name Jesus gave him. And notice the first thing he says is that he's a servant or doulos, which means either a slave or a bondservant. And here at the end of his life, Peter understands he's a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. And hopefully as we go through this study, we'll be considering ourselves, am I a servant of Jesus Christ? Would someone see us and think of it that way? But I think it's a beautiful way to describe himself, a servant. And then he says, and apostle. And so he understands the office he's been given of being a witness to Jesus Christ, of being that eyewitness who can speak and teach and say what Jesus said and who he walked and talked and lived with Jesus. And then, of course, the focus is on his master, and that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus means Yahweh saves, and Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. And so here we have a full kind of picture of who Peter is at the end of his life. And again, I just want to highlight, he says he's a servant, which is beautiful. And then he says to the people he's writing to, and he says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. And here those words really mean of equal honor or privilege with ours. And so he's saying that the people he's writing to, those dear believers in churches, probably in Asia Minor again, because those are the first ones he wrote to, and we find out later on that he talks about his first letter. And so we know that this second letter is at least going out to those same people. He is saying to them that their faith has the same privilege, honor, status as the faith of the apostles. And some people have talked about how at the foot of the cross we're all equal, and that is definitely true. Anyone who is in Christ has been chosen by God the Father and redeemed by Jesus Christ and is in the process of being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter is talking about them being of equal value to him and the apostles, which is a beautiful thing. And then he goes on and he says, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's two parts here we need to pay attention to. One is by or on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be looking at a passage from Romans in just a minute, because our righteousness only comes through what Jesus Christ has done. And Romans is all about what that righteousness is. But I also want us to point out, to understand right here when it says, of our God and Father, Jesus Christ. The Greek grammar is singular, and it's saying Jesus Christ is God. It's a very strong statement of his being divine. And this is one of the texts in Scripture that really tells us Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And it's an important one for us to understand. But now we're going to go to Romans 1, just verses 16 and 17. And it's going to be talking again about that righteousness that we get through Christ.
All right, this is, and Connie, you've selected Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, and it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith.
Yes, and such a beautiful passage, because our righteousness comes by faith, and truly our righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so it all comes back to Christ and what he has done on the cross for us to save us from our sins. In Christ, we have that righteousness, and in him, in that salvation, we have the new birth and the regeneration so that we can then go on and live lives that please God. Really, truly, when we understand what God has given us, it's just an incredible, beautiful, beautiful thing. Peter, in his second part of the verse here, says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. And here, what a beautiful, beautiful way of speaking to these dear people. It's truly a blessing. He's asking that God do that for them. And we know that grace is everything we need for the Christian life. And peace has to do with being at peace, reconciled to God. And we're gonna talk about that for just a minute. And I was gonna ask Amy if she can remember a time in her life when God's grace and peace was multiplied to her.
Oh yes, early on in my Christian walk with my grandmother, who had gotten cancer, and she was very sick, and I was so worried about her. As a new Christian, I thought that if I prayed that God would save her. And what was very interesting is that as I got to know him more deeply, he gave me that peace that surpasses all understanding. And he actually did heal her by reconciling him and her together, so that when she passed away, she knew Jesus Christ and was healed, of course, in heaven later. But I didn't understand at the time, and I'm so glad that he opened my eyes and gave me that peace to get through that time.
Oh, Amy, that's so beautiful. Praise God.
Yes.
And truly, what is more important than that ultimate healing?
Yes.
So
he answered my prayer, but not in the way I expected, but in a much better way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So Peter is asking for that same thing for the people who read this letter. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. And then he says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And here that word knowledge is a very interesting Greek word, and it's an important one for us to understand because we are going to see it many times here in 1 Peter. And it's really the epignosis, which means it's the full, personal, intimate knowledge of God. And so this is more than just knowing some facts about God or actually being able to say Jesus died on the cross, but it's actually knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and being in a relationship with Him. So you're trusting Him with your life and that your life depends upon what He said and you're holding to His word. And that is what Peter is saying is going to help them to grow in the knowledge of Christ, is to know God in that way, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we're going to look in a couple scriptures that, again, talk about that knowing God in such a way that we're confident and we know Him in a personal, real, deep way. One of those scriptures is actually back in Genesis 4:1, where it talks about Adam and Eve. And sometimes this word epignosis can be used in the way of being physically intimate. And it says that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain. And so that's one way of knowing, but it's again, it speaks to that personal deep knowledge. There's another passage in scripture that Amy's going to read from Amos, and this is talking actually when God is calling Israel to account for their sins, but he talks about how well he knows them.
Yes, it's Amos 3:2, and it says, "You only I have known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities."
All right. And so this people, Israel, his chosen people, he knows them in a way that he doesn't know any other people on earth. Then we come to the New Testament, and Jesus talks about knowing his people and how knowing him is eternal life. And it's a beautiful passage. It's from Jesus' high priestly prayer in John 17.
All right. And it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given them authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.'"
Yes. And so that's the question for each and every one of us. And really, is it, do I know Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And if you know him, then are you growing in relationship with him? And one of the questions we're hopefully going to be answering as we study through 2 Peter will be saying, how is it that I can come to know him more?
Well, Connie, thank you so much. This 2 Peter study is going to be incredible. And if you're looking for the notes, the study guide, look on our website, naomistable.com, for lesson number 27. And this one is titled Introduction and Greeting. So very easy to find there. We've made all of these studies so easy for you to download and use them around your own table. Coach some ladies or do them at your own pace if you prefer. All right, we're going to leave it here. But in a moment, Nancy LeMay and I will be right back to talk a little bit more about what you just heard today. Thanks for sticking around. We'll see you in a few minutes.